Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Barry Manilow. No, it's not Barry Manilow.
Barry White.
I'm just a little bit sick today, so the voice has dropped an octave. This is still Thomas, and I'm joined by David Haynes. David. Do you know any new jokes?
Oh, new jokes. Man, did you hear the one about the guy who woke up last Sunday morning and he just really didn't want to go to church. He woke up that morning, he looked at the clock, and he thought, you know, if I didn't get up and go to church, I could just lay in bed. I could lay in bed, take it easy. And he started thinking about if he had a legitimate excuse not to go to church. So he cleared his throat. My throat's not hurting, man. And he thought, well, is my stomach hurting? And he thought about it a little bit. He said, no, my stomach's not hurting. And he thought through all of his potential ailments, and there were none. But he decided he just wasn't going to church. He wasn't going to church. Just a few minutes while he's contemplating not going to church, his wife comes in and she says, hey, it's time to get up. We need to start getting ready for church. And he said, honey, I just think I'm going to play hooky today. I'm not going to go to church. She said, I think you ought to go to church. And he said, well, why should I go to church? She said, well, God wants you to go to church. And second, you're the pastor. you need to go to church today to preach.
Oh, what's so bad is I probably thought through that too a few times.
Oh, man. Thomas, what is our podcast topic for this episode?
The topic is, do I have to go to church?
Do I have to go to church? Do I have to go to church?
And I think if we're going to answer that simply, we could just answer that and say, no.
That's correct.
Or we could answer it simply and say, yes.
That's correct.
Because our salvation is not dependent upon church attendance.
I completely agree. Whenever I think about salvation, I often go back to the thief on the cross. And we can look at we know the thief on the cross placed faith in the Lord literally moments before he died. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So his salvation was real. We're going to be able to talk to him in heaven. He never received the Lord's Supper. He was never baptized. He never attended church post-salvation. Maybe he did before. He never attended church post-salvation. And so we can look back to that thief on the cross and get down to the brass tacks of what is salvifically important. We know that church attendance is not required for salvation. So yeah, we can answer it yes and no. Does a person have to attend church?
But there are many people who don't attend church, right?
There are, yeah.
And in some sense, we know that that is not okay.
It's not.
It's not needed for salvation, but it is needed if that person is going to be a growing Christian in their relationship with God.
I completely agree. You know, this is a multi-generational issue. Just a few weeks ago from the time of this recording, I participated in a panel discussion at the Baptist Student Union at Northwest Mississippi Community College, and the students submitted questions to their BSU director, Dustin Tudor, and Toot shared those questions with three pastors, a youth guy and two senior pastors. And one of those questions was basically submitted by a college student, why do some of my friends not believe in attending church? And so we discussed that in a panel discussion. And that panel discussion, the information we gave in a three-minute setting there is going to be similar to what you and I are going to discuss today. But yeah, it is a multi-generational question where some do not see the importance of attending church. But if you're going to be growing, if you're going to be maturing, and I could even argue to some extent, if you're going to be serving, you need to be in a Christian church. You need to be serving the Lord.
My church, we go every third Sunday to do evangelism. And we've been trying for the last year to canvass and knock on every door in our community. And so this past Sunday, I went out with a church member here at Ingomar, and we knocked on a bunch of doors and had a bunch of conversations. And usually I ask the person somewhere along the way, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Or I may ask them, have you been born again? Do you ever think about spiritual things? You know, whatever those questions are to get the person to open up about their spirituality. This past week, I would say probably four or five people said, yes, I know Jesus. And they would use church language.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I've been born again. Yes, I pray. Yes, I read the scriptures. I have a growing relationship. Even one person said, I have a growing relationship. I depend upon him every day. Mm-hmm. But yet, then when I asked them, well, do you actively attend a church and are you part of a fellowship? Almost every one of them said, no, mm-hmm. I am not. And then I would begin to try to explain to them, I think that is needed. I think it's needed to be part of a fellowship. So why do you think some people don't go to church?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You and I recently did a podcast on church hurt. And so I would lay a lot of the blame on previous church hurt. And the interesting thing is our current church that you're inviting someone to may have had nothing to do with that individual or that family's church hurt. They might have been hurt a decade ago and three states away. Yet that church hurt traveled with them to their new community or their new area. So I would say church hurt is sometimes the reason why someone would not be involved in church. And Thomas, I think it's often a change in habit. Habits are sometimes hard to break and bad habits are hard to stop. Thomas, just earlier, you and I are sitting in this fine, fine office right here at Ingomar Baptist Church. By the way, podcast listeners, Dr. Majors has moved our recording studio from one room in Ingomar Baptist to another room. And boy, this is a fine upgrade, might I say.
It is a nice, nice upgrade. We have moved away from Chris McCluskey's closet that he had as a pastor to what was the conference room in this section of the building.
Is it the presidential suite or the pastoral suite? What is this room called now? What's it say on the door right there?
It is the pastoral suite.
Ooh,
it is definitely not presidential in any way.
So Thomas, just earlier, as we were in the pastoral suite here, I said, hey, I'll take a cup of coffee. And do you remember what you asked me? You said, you used to not drink coffee. And I said, that's right. But a few years ago, I started drinking coffee. So habits can change. Now, talking about why some don't attend church, on the occasion, there can be a faithful family, a faithful brother, a faithful sister of the faith who has a legitimate excuse to not attend church. What would be a legitimate excuse? Prolonged sickness. Man, maybe they were in the hospital. Maybe they were near death. I mean, it was a prolonged sickness where they could not be there. Maybe they had a job change. Maybe the Lord led them to a new job, but because of that job change, maybe they couldn't attend Wednesday nights. Maybe they couldn't attend Sunday mornings. Maybe they couldn't do what they were used to doing. And through that six-month process until they got a promotion within the new company, they couldn't attend. But then when they could attend on Wednesday night or when they could attend on Sunday morning, well, the habit had been broken.
They got out of the habit of attending. And then it's hard. It's kind of frightening in a sense to step back into a place too.
It is. What will people say? What will people think? Is that what you're leading to?
And then
to?
If you come in a little bit late, you know, there might only be a seat down front and you have to walk in front of everyone. What if I trip?
Yeah.
What if my hair's messed up?
What if they ask me to come sing the special?
Yeah. Yes. What if they ask me to pray? Right. Well, if you haven't been there in 3 months, in 3 years, they're not asking you to pray, okay? They just want you to come down to the altar.
Come down and repent.
You know, sometimes people don't come to church because it can be boring, mm-hmm. in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, some churches.
No, not mine and your church. We're talking about other churches.
No. Not First Baptist Senatobia, not Ingomar.
Never boring with us.
But sometimes they feel like it is boring. Well, I could be here doing this. I could be there doing that. Yeah. But now I'm just here on the pew listening.
Yeah.
And they look mad about it too.
That's right. That's right. I think you're right about that. And some people who have had a break in church continuity or a break in church attendance, maybe previously they served on search teams or they served on committees or they taught classes, and now they feel like their ability is being wasted. I'm doing nothing. Hey, listen, if you're there worshiping the Lord, you're not doing nothing. You're doing something. We are called to glorify the Lord and honor the Lord. Yeah.
I read a statistic that got me thinking. I read a statistic years ago, probably 5 to 10 years ago, that at least one or two people on a search team will leave the church once they call the new person.
Really? Dude, that is so interesting. That is so interesting.
And I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it in the churches where I've been. Uh-huh. What about you?
You know, Thomas, I've seen that. I don't know that I've seen it personally, but I just looking over search teams and faithful people, I have seen where search team members who were elected by the church, these are leaders among the church, find their way out of that church. That is so interesting.
I think another reason why people don't go to church is because of something that, now I read it in a book, so this is not an illustration that is unique to me, but it's a great illustration. I think about it so often.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Which one is it where he goes to New York?
Right. Is that number? Is that the second one?
I think that's number two. Yeah. He goes to New York. Yeah. And so he finds himself in New York. He goes to a hotel and he sits down on the edge of the bed.
Uh-huh.
And he says, TV, I haven't watched TV in 20 years. And so he turns the TV on.
Uh-huh.
And when he turns the TV on, it is I Love Lucy.
Oh,
I Love Lucy is starting to come on and go through the credits.
Yeah.
And he goes, huh. And he turns it back off and he says, it's exactly what I remember.
So basically, it wasn't worth watching.
It wasn't worth watching.
Huh. That's interesting.
Now, the person who wrote it in a book basically goes on to say, so many churches are doing the same thing, the same way, saying the same thing. Nothing has changed in 20 years. Now, we know the gospel does not change. The word of God does not change. But the culture around us is changing. Technology is changing. Things are changing all around us.
Yeah.
And in some sense, there should be a reflection of that in a worship service.
I completely agree. Many years ago, whenever you and I were students at Blue Mountain College, I was assigned to interview Randy Bostic, pastor of Oakland Baptist Church. Man, that's 20 years ago. Randy's still there at Oakland Baptist Church. I think he celebrated, what, did he celebrate 40 years the other day? I don't know. Something like that. Dude, it's a bunch. But he said something that stuck in my brain. Same message, different method. Same message, different method. Yeah. In most Baptist churches, change is a four-letter word that you better not even talk about. But what we see, dude, if we're not evolving with the times of our communities, we are leaving families behind. We have to change or the Lord will not be using us. I completely agree. Yeah. So now, what is the topic again? Do I have to go to church? All right, Thomas, I'm going to tell you a setting where you, Thomas Majors, would not attend church. Before I tell you, let me ask you, have you figured it out yet? What would be a setting where you would not attend church?
If the person delivering the message did not meet the biblical requirements, I would not attend that church.
You're 100% correct. And there are places, probably in America, definitely places in this world, that if you are a person who believes in a biblical standard of conviction, you could not find a local church. You could not find a church because the biblical standard that you hold as truth is not being taught. It's not the foundation. And Thomas, in a setting like that, where you could look and say, is there a church home? Is there a church family here? And if the answer comes back, nope, there is no church, what would you, as a believer in Jesus, be called to do?
I think I would be called to plant a church.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, even if it was just right there with my family, in my home, I would need to start discipling, intentionally discipling my family with the hopes of bringing other people into that discipleship as well. So yeah, I think I would be called to begin church planting in that place.
I agree. You know, there are many families in North Mississippi who do not attend church, but they do not attend church, in my opinion, they do not attend church because there are no biblical church options. They simply don't attend church. But I would hope that if any of our listeners were to find themselves in a foreign area where there is no biblical church, start that church. Start with your family. Start working out. Start reaching. And I believe the Lord could even use our listeners to plant churches if they ever found themselves in a situation like that.
That's great advice.
Yeah. All right, Thomas. So what would we suggest to someone? What would you suggest to someone who has a loved one that just doesn't attend church? That loved one has placed faith in the Lord. That loved one, as you mentioned earlier, reads the Bible, prays. That loved one around a family dinner table around Thanksgiving, they speak as a Christian. They basically act like a Christian. They're just not in church. How would you encourage someone? What could someone do to help that loved one get back in church?
I always tell people, keep praying. Mm-hmm. Keep praying for the person. Pray for God to soften their heart, open their eyes, show them the need of that they have in their life to be in fellowship with other believers. And then I always encourage, let's say it's a wife who goes every Sunday without her husband. I encourage that wife to ask the husband every Sunday.
Oh, hey, you want to go to church with me?
Yeah. Make them say no every Sunday.
Gotcha.
Don't just assume that they won't come that day. Yeah. Ask them and make them say no to you, because one day they'll probably say yes.
Yeah. I've not thought about it like that. Man, that is really good advice. That's really good advice.
Jesus said in talking about prayer that we should keep on knocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And keep on asking.
That's right.
And
that's
if that is a true principle for our relationship with prayer and asking of God, I think that is a true principle. And when it comes to people in our life as well.
So. And I never thought about this. No, you know, you receive not because you ask not. And so there are maybe many spouses that if they were to be regularly asked, they would go. They would then go, and then that person would receive the benefit of having the spouse in church with them. Yeah, I agree.
I always encourage people to say, mm-hmm. hey, come to church with me, mm-hmm. sit beside me, mm-hmm. and I can help you understand, you know, I can help you find the Bible verses. I can help you sing the songs.
Yeah.
Or you can say, come to church with me and let's go out to eat afterwards.
There you go. Yep. I completely agree.
Come to church with me and meet so and so. He is so funny.
Yeah, that's
You're
right.
You're going to like
that's
this person.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah. Come to church and give them another reason to go to church.
Yeah. You know, and Thomas, whenever I see a visitor at our church, and which most of the visitors who come to First Baptist Senatobia are not because they're not there because I initially invited them. It's somebody else. It's first member of pastor of the First Baptist Church. Whenever you pastor the First Baptist Church, when someone moves to that town and they have a Baptist pedigree or a Baptist background, most often their first visit is going to be the First Baptist Church.
Right.
And so we benefit from being a person's first option. April and I had lunch this past Sunday with a family who have been living in Senatobia maybe a couple of months, and they've been attending with us. I guess they've been here about four times now. And so as soon as they got settled in their new house and in their new town, they started coming to First Baptist Church. I hope they don't leave. I don't want them to visit anywhere else. I want them. So what I do, this is something I do whenever I see a family that's out there and I don't know them, and I walk up, I will kind of say, I'll shake their hand, I'll tell them who I am. And at this point, I've been at First Baptist right at 2 years. I'll tell them kind of where I'm from, Corinth, Mississippi. And I'll say, if they don't know where that's at, I'll say, that's a little over an hour and a half from here. And then I will ask, so on any given Sunday, do you usually attend church anywhere? And because I'm still kind of new-ish, so there may be people that may be First Baptist Church people who have been distanced from First Baptist for some time and are coming back. But if they say, no, you know, we just moved here, or no, we've not been in church in years, or no, you know, whatever the case is, do you usually attend church somewhere? No. I then say this, congratulations. You have completed the hardest thing you'll do in going to a new church. You have walked through that door. From That's this good. Point forward, it's going to be easier. And they'll kind of smile and say, oh, well, that's right. We've made the hardest step. We decided to get up, get ready, drive to a place we've never been before, walk through a door we've never walked through before, and to sit with people we have no idea who they are. And I just say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm so glad you're here today. And it just kind of takes the edge off of a person coming back to church.
That's really, really good.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
We forget how frightening it is to mm-hmm. walk into a church.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially me and you. Because we walk in preaching. We know people. We're used to this. But yeah, other people, they're not.
Exactly. And a lot of men, let's just speak openly about men and their attitudes. Men want to be quiet. They don't necessarily want to be seen most of the time. They want to kind of come in, sit on the edge, and just kind of watch and see what happens. But when you go to a church, and especially a church, I'm sure like First Baptist in Etobia and like Ingomar, well, you got people in the parking lot who are saying, hello, good to see you today. That's right. They're holding the door for you.
You get greeters at the door. Yeah.
Good to see you today. And you're going to shake some people's hands and sit by people that you don't know. Yep. And in a sense, a man can feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And would never say it to another person, but in a sense, frightened by showing up to church that day.
Yeah, Thomas, I think you're right about it. And so anything that we can do, anything our listeners can do to make people feel welcome will go a long way in the kingdom event. Don't forget, guys, we're not just trying to be nice people for people. We're not just trying to invite people to church for the sake of our church. This is kingdom work we're talking about. And if we will be welcoming and opening and inviting, you never can tell what the Lord may use, not just in the here and now, but we're talking about the next generation. We're talking about two generations from now. Who knows if somebody we're preaching to this Sunday may get saved and their grandchild, maybe the next Billy Graham, will be dead and gone. I mean, you'll be in heaven, but the gospel message will go forth possibly through something that we do this Sunday.
That's a great reminder. Let's also think about, why is it important to be at church?
Yeah.
What would you say if you were going to ask the normal, everyday worship attender, how do you think they would respond to that? Why is it important to be at church?
I think most people would say it would be some, let me boil it all down, it's going to be something about a relationship is what I think. It's going to be relationship. Maybe I'm thinking that because I'm relationship driven, but I think it's going to go down to relationship. Of course, relationship with God. But I think what I'm aiming at really here is the relationship with each other. Whenever you're a man who has friends who are men, you can talk about anything under the sun. Whenever you're a lady your job with other, you can have friends in that church dynamic where you're not the only woman who is going through what you're going through. You're not the only man who's going through what your family is going through. So I think I would really boil it down to relationships. Okay, do you have a different answer?
No, I think that is true. I think it's fellowship and the fellowship between believers. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to walk with me. I need someone to
encourage me,
to talk to, encourage me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever
it
may be. I think it's fellowship. Yeah. Usually when you ask someone, you know, what brought you to this church? Mm-hmm. Well, they're just good people here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be something relationship focused. Not long ago, I heard someone say, I asked them the question, you know, why do you go to that church. And they answered in a way that I'd not necessarily heard before. They said, well, I need to be filled up so I can pour out all week.
I gotcha. That's
and
good.
I was like, okay, yeah, that's good. You know, that's more of a word focused response to that question. But yeah, I think it's going to be fellowship.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think too. So.
Now you said something a moment ago that was very important.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
You said it at almost as a kind of a side statement. But I think it's true. Why is being at church so important? Because it's one place that you can serve that you might not be able to serve somewhere else.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that about, I think, when we were talking about the search committees or something like that. Yeah. But church is a place for people to serve.
It is. Yeah, really it is. And let me go ahead and say this. Christians are not the only people who serve. There are lost people who serve the public. There are lost people who serve others. But what we're talking about is this is the primary avenue for Christian service. There are Christians who may serve outside of the church area who don't even attend church. My wife, just last week at the time of this recording, she met someone through her job. This was a man, and she was kind of talking with this man, kind of interviewing this man. And she asked this guy where he went to church, and he has not been in church in a number of years. As their conversation continued, my wife mentioned someone else, and this guy said, I know that guy. I served with him at, and this was a Christian organization who helped needy people. And she came home. She said, I cannot believe this. This guy's not attended church in years, yet he faithfully gave of his time in a hands-on way, basically picking up items, stocking items for the needy in this community. And it is a Christian organization. She found it so interesting that a guy would serve yet not attend church. At church, the majority of the people will be asked to do something.
Something.
Something. And it may be something as insignificant as sweeping a doormat, but it is something. Remember Ray Newcomb? I don't know if you remember Ray Newcomb.
I do.
Ray's been deceased. Golly, this year will be 10 years since he passed. Ray was a friend of mine. He was a mentor of mine. He pastored First Millington, Tennessee. Ray and I had a short but intense relationship. We went fishing at Pickwick a few times. I'd go up to his house and hang out with him. He'd give me books to read, and I'd have to give him a report, an oral report on him. But Ray was an interesting guy. And Ray one time said this, give your people a job. And I said, what do you mean? He said, doesn't matter. He said, you find something at church and you get somebody to do it. And then he gave me an example. At First Millington, he still remembered the number. He had already retired from First Millington. But at First Millington, at that time, he remembered the number of doormats they had. It was like 11. And he said, I had 11 different people with 11 different brooms. He said that their job was to sweep that doormat every Sunday morning. And he said, I told him this is super important. It is possibly the first thing a visitor will see. We want that doormat clean. And he said, I even told them, if you're going to be out some Sunday because you're sick, or if you're going to be out because of vacation or whatever else, you better get somebody to clean your doormat. That is your responsibility. And he said, it was their responsibility for 12 months. And he said, at the end of the 12 months, he said, if they serve faithfully, he said, I'd find something else for them to do. And he said, but it was such an important task. So he said, give everybody. He said, use your people or lose your people. That was his statement. Use your people or lose your people. So
I would agree with that. I think people want to be involved in something that is life-changing and important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they come to a church that they're just mainly a witness of watching, you know, a spectator in a sense, they don't feel invested in that.
Yeah.
I think the reason that some churches begin to see their offerings decrease is because the congregation begins to view that what they're giving to is not worthy.
That's right. You know, there are some people who will give a tithe, but not to the local church. They may give, in a situation like that, they may give 5% to their church. They may give 2.5% to another ministry that they deem needs their money, and they're still giving a tenth, but not to the local church. And I think that's part of it, Thomas. I do. Hey, let me tell you something we do at First Baptist that I think is really neat. So we're a Baptist church, so we have the most Baptist committee ever, the Committee on Committees.
Yes.
And one of their our office administrator, at least this pastor, she was the chair of the Committee on Committees, and I think she is basically that every year. She does a great job, but this is something she does I think is fantastic. When it is time for, you know, every year we have a ton of committees, two or three people roll off of every committee every year, and then we have to put two or three more on. We go back over the previous year's new members, and we try to plug one person from each family into a committee is what we try to do, and just to get new people serving quickly.
So you mean that a new member,
yes,
can be on a committee at your church?
Can you believe that? Isn't that a novel idea? It's fantastic, you know?
You mean they don't have to wait 5 years and submit their social security number? And their credit card numbers and give a credit score?
Absolutely not. They don't. They can serve.
That's so weird. It's weird.
Well, Thomas, this has been a really good discussion about people not being in church. Or maybe it's been a discussion about the importance of church attendance. And we didn't even quote Hebrews 10:25 about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And that's one of those good ones that you can find in the Bible, that we are supposed to gather together as brothers and sisters of the faith. But this has been a lot of good, and I hope that our podcast listeners will be able to take some of this back to the churches where they serve and help people grow in the Lord. So we're so glad that you've joined us this week. Tune in again next time.